That's a great song, isn't it? Tremendous song. Last week, we talked about the relaxing power of faith and how it relates to our everyday lives. I shared with you that when we get into pressure situations, when things come upon us that are so heavy, they seem so difficult for us to bear, that we need to remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 and verse 28 when He said, "Come to Me all who are heavy and weary, and I will give you rest." And we talked about that rest. We talked about the rest that faith can bring into our lives when we finally come to the conclusion that we must leave this in God's hands. He's going to have to take care of it. He's going to have to bear it. But what I want to talk with you tonight about is what pressure usually brings about in our lives. All right? And how we deal with the effects of pressure. The first place that pressure usually attacks is our spirit. The way we feel and the way we look at life. It makes us begin to feel like, I can't deal with this. I can't cope. Or we may think, this isn't fair. This is unjust. Jay was sharing with me before the service this evening, the guy who just sang, that this morning, I think it was this morning at work, he said, "Oh, Mark, today was really a hard day at work." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, I had this customer come in, very, very wealthy customer, and he wanted some office equipment. He said he came in without an appointment. Usually you always call for an appointment, and he wanted to see stuff that I didn't have because I didn't know he was coming in. I didn't know this person was going to be there, and I needed to get a hold of the manufacturer's rep." And he started swearing at me one side and down the other, saying, "You blankety-blank this, you blankety-blank that." And he said, "I could just feel pressure begin to rise up inside him." He said, "I had so many things going through my mind. I wanted to smack the guy. You know, I wanted to put him in his place." And he said, you know, I know what was going on in my mind, but I knew I couldn't respond that way." And he said, "You know, it was amazing. By the time we were done, the guy bought the desk." It's amazing how people will deal with you sometimes like that. But you know what's interesting is how many sales have been lost because the salesman didn't keep his cool under pressure. Or the saleswoman didn't keep her pressure under cool. Or how many relationships have been broken? Did I say something funny? Did I say the saleswoman didn't keep her pressure under? Did you like that? That's good. I'm glad. That's about all I'm going to say funny tonight. Okay? Everything funny was last week, so you'll have to get to tape. This ain't no comedy hour tonight. Tonight we just get to get down to business. Okay? Or how many relationships have been ruined or maybe irreparably damaged because of something that was said while we were under pressure? It might have been with our children. It might have been something that we did. You know, it's funny how people respond under pressure. For example, there are some people who, even though they don't have money to get something, they think their life is so bad that the only way to make themselves feel better is they go put something on a credit card they know they can't afford. It's going to apply more pressure to their life, but it momentarily makes them feel better. And then next thing you know, all of a sudden the bills come. And now they're experiencing more pressure. It's amazing how many people live their life that way. So we've got to find a way. It's one thing to just trust God, to say, finally when we get to the end of our rope, okay, God, I don't have any other choice, just take it. I come to You, take it. I resign myself to You. It's another thing to allow that faith to dictate our attitudes and our responses as we go through life. I call them FBRs, faith-based responses. Or FBAs, whichever you like better, faith-based attitudes. Or FBPs, faith-based perspectives. I have come to realize in my own personal life that when you really melt life down to its simplest denominator, for me, it comes down to one word, perspective. How I'm going to decide to look at life. How I'm going to decide to view my life, to view the things that come into my life. And so I would say this, pressure only has as much effect on you as you allow it. You think about that. I don't want you to rebel against that tonight. I don't want you to think, that idiot, how could he dare say that? I want you to go think about that this week. Pressure only can affect you and I as much as we allow it to affect us. And I'm going to show you that tonight from the Bible. That's why I brought my little stand out here so I don't have to wave it around so I can just set it right here. I want to share with you how God helps me go through situations in my life that aren't pleasant. I mean, I think we all realize by now that I can't control everything that comes into my life. I can't control all the pressures that come to my life. I can't. I can't control the circumstances that might happen in my day. No more than John could control what's going to happen to his car. He did the best he could do. The buyer's guide said that the blankety-blank car that he bought should have been a good car. But he got a lemon. Why? I don't know. He's a wonderful guy. Does he deserve it? No. Does his family deserve it? No. Can he afford it? No. Does God know all that? Yes. Does that mean God doesn't like him? No. Does it seem that way? Yes. So life can be a confusing set of circumstances sometimes. Life doesn't always seem to add up with what we think it ought to be. Maybe it's how your job is going. I mean, did Jay deserve to have someone walk into him today and speak to him in that manner, in that tone? No, he did not. Did you deserve what happened to you today if it was negative or bad? Maybe, maybe not. Those things happen in our life. But for most people, let me share this with you, most people live a very traumatized life. Have you ever noticed how few people smile today? I notice this all the time. I notice as I go to the mall, I notice as I go into stores, I notice how very few people wear a smile because in their minds, there's very little to smile about. Have you ever noticed how cynical bumper stickers are? They're very cynical. There are very few positive ones out there, and I'd like to repeat some of them up here, but I better not. Do you know which ones they are? And you see them on a regular basis. We live in a very cynical society. And you know something? I was sharing this with my children's karate instructor the other day. We were just having a chat. The kids were out in class. And I said, you know, one thing I've tried to always teach my children, and I said, one thing I've noticed here, is chaos is always more contagious than excellence. You ever notice that? The bad is always more contagious than the good. Always. And so every day when you and I get up, we're bombarded with the newspaper. We might be bombarded with the television. We might be bombarded with poor economic news on our job. You know, I think about everybody today. I mean, it's funny. It's almost like everybody's afraid. They wake up tomorrow and not going to have a job. And all of a sudden, there's this fear on people. Oh, I'm not going to have health care tomorrow. Oh, I'm not going to have a job. Oh, my car's going to break down. I mean, we live by Murphy's Law all the time. It's become a national syndrome that's affecting this country. Now, what happens is we begin looking at circumstances and we allow those circumstances to formulate our life philosophy. Okay? And this is what most people do. In fact, most Christians do this. Most people who say they're religious and say they know God live this way. They live very negative, cynical lives and just waiting to die and go to heaven. That's about all they have to hope for. Because what happens is, most people are addicted to good things and they hate bad things. What I mean by addicted is this. The only time they experience joy is when something circumstantially good happens to them. Otherwise, they don't know happiness. So they hope that the sun shines. They hope that they get a raise at work. They hope that the day goes well. And when they say the day goes well, they don't mean, I hope that I'm a happy, cheerful person today. I hope I live a positive, confident life. That's not what they mean. They mean, I hope everything works out today. I hope the car doesn't break down, rush hour traffic isn't too bad, that nothing bad happens to me today. That's an awful way to live. Do you know why? Because every day something bad's going to happen to you. Isn't that a positive thought? Here's what I mean by that. Every day, there are going to be things that come into your life that make you uncomfortable. That you don't like. That if you had your druthers and you had a magic genie or you had a magic wand, you would say, just take it away. Just make it disappear. Well, life doesn't work that way. God, in His wisdom, has a better plan. He really does. Now, you're going to have to trust me on this. I'm going to try to help you understand this tonight. But you're not going to understand it all tonight. You're going to have to decide that you're going to choose to trust God in the practical things of life. Because otherwise, your life's going to be in just a roller coaster. It's just going to go up and down, up and down. What I want to help do is bring some positive stability into your daily life. Some positive perspective into your daily living. So let's take faith from this abstract thing of when it finally gets down to it, I just don't have anywhere else to go. I finally go to God. Okay, I guess that's all I can do. Now let's take that faith and let's talk about how it can affect our attitudes. All right? So this is where the Bible comes in. I want to share with you how faith becomes very, very practical. I was at a funeral today. We had a young man who has been involved with Evergreen here since the very beginning, who died this week, totally unexpectedly. Some of you may know him. His name is John Johnson. You might have seen him in the hall. John had a learning disability. John was not the type of person, you know, who is Mr. Dashing and Mr. Debonair. It was a disability that affected him quite a bit. He lived with his parents. But about 10 years ago, John came to know Christ. And John, as well as his learning disability, was on medications to control seizures that he had that he could do nothing about. And his sister, Nancy, some of you know Blaine and Nancy, they're the ones who fix all the food. If you've ever been to our pastor's social, Nancy is his sister. And she was sharing how, and Brent was sharing this today at the funeral, how before John came to know Christ, all he talked about was his problems. His problems. His life revolved around his problems. I don't know how old John was when he came to know Christ. I think he was around 19 or 20. I'm not exactly sure. But John had never learned to read. His disability had kept him from learning to read. But after John came to know Christ, something really tremendous started happening in his heart. He fell in love with God. And because of his deep motivation to know Christ, he taught himself with a Bible and with tapes how to read. And he had hundreds of verses. He'd always be thinking about a verse, memorizing a verse, thinking about the Bible. And John, you know, he'd come up to you with a big smile on his face, and his smile literally almost went from ear to ear. And he'd come up to you in the hall, and he'd put his arm around you, or he'd ask you what you've been thinking about. And John, by and large, in spite of all the obstacles that he had, which make our lives, quite frankly, look like easy street, John had usually a positive perspective on life. And I'm going to share with you why. Because the same reason he has a positive perspective, be the same way you and I can have a positive perspective in our lives. The Bible lets us know. You see the little title in your program? It's entitled Smile, God is on your side. Now, I can't think of anything that affects me more in my daily life than knowing that simple little phrase. And I'm going to show you where the Bible says that in just a little bit later. But God is on your side. You have everything to be happy about. You have every reason to smile today, no matter what life is throwing at you. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how many people don't like you, no matter how rough your life goes, the most important person in the universe, the wisest, the most powerful individual in the world, in the entire galaxy, is in your corner. He's on your side. And he's got power to sustain you, to enable you, to allow you to experience joy, even though for a brief, momentary time, you might be suffering in this body, in this life. Whenever I go through difficult times in my life, or whenever I face challenging circumstances, it has been almost 20 years now that I have been following Christ. It has been almost 20 years that I have been reprogramming my negativity and my melancholy spirit with the Bible. It's been an arduous process. It's been a challenging process. I didn't do very well in school. Studying for exams was not my forte. Learning things was not my idea of fun. I have a melancholy side to me that can leave me at times extremely discouraged. I can get extremely negative. And if my mother was here, you could ask her. And you could ask my spouse. Life, sometimes I just get very pessimistic. In fact, sometimes I just like it. Now, it feels good to be real pessimistic. You ever notice that? It feels really good to get bummed out. It just feels really good to get upset. That's our human side. But those are the things we can battle with, we can struggle with. Well, I don't want to spend the rest of my life living like that. I wanted to have something different in my life, and I knew that God had that for me. And I knew what it was going to take was reprogramming my spirit and my attitudes and my perspectives in life. So one of my favorite passages in the Bible is Psalm 23. And I'll read it to you, and then I'll try to break it down. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores and renews my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you might call that pressure, I fear no harm, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a feasting table before me. Remember the verse John shared? The cheerful heart has a continual feast, but all the days of the oppressed are wretched. I'll tie that in just a moment. You anoint my head with oil. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, every day. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Now David, you got to understand something about David. David wasn't just writing these things, you know, they were nice little poems. David had a whole army chasing him around the countryside. Have you ever thought what it would be like to have the National Guard after you? Did you ever see the movie, I think it was First Blood, you know, when we first met John Rambo? And there's John just minding his own business, so to speak. And he's being chased all over the mountains. Of course, you know what he did is totally impossible. It's only in the movies that kind of stuff happens, or with God's help. And you can read about that in 1 and 2 Samuel, in 1 and 2 Chronicles of the life of David. He's being chased all over like a dog by King Saul. He had more than one chance to kill Saul, and he didn't take it. He left it in God's hands. It was during many of those difficult times in his life that you read the Psalms, you see the reality of his faith. Faith proves whether or not you really believe God under pressure. How you respond to pressure proves your faith. It's one thing to say, I believe in God, I trust in God. But it's quite another when the pressures come to see how you and I are going to hold up. How we're going to stand up. What we're going to choose this day to believe. One of the things that I go over in my mind, and again, I would never lead you to believe that I go over these things perfectly and that I respond perfectly. I do not. But I can tell you right now that the pressures that have come into my life the last 20 years, there's no way I'd be here today if it was not for God driving these things home in my mind. So I reflect on the fact that God is the guide and director of my life. He is the sovereign leader in my life. He's leading it. I'll read you a verse in Romans that I reflect on a lot. It says this in Romans chapter 10. It says, oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments, His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what that says to me? It says God knows what He's doing. He doesn't screw up in my life. You ever thought about the things that happen in your life? And you ask yourself, God, this is really so unfair. This stinks. This stinks so bad. And what do you think Paul thought? What do you think Paul thought? He never hurt anybody. He healed people. He lived for other people. He'd been beat up. He'd been stoned. And now he was in jail. He spent much of his life wrongfully accused in jail. All because he loved Christ and wanted to share this wonderful message with other people. Read the book of Philippians sometime. It was written from jail. It mentions the word joy more than any other book in the New Testament. Read the book of Ephesians. Read the book of Colossians. You ever heard of the book, The Pilgrim's Progress? It was written by a man named John Bunyan, who spent much of his life wrongfully in prison. Did he whine? Did he grumble? Did he curse God? No. He used his time and he wrote what for years, hundreds of years, was the best-selling book in the world, second only to the Bible, called Pilgrim's Progress. And the allegory of this man named Christian and all the difficulties that he went through. And God used it in great ways in his life. You see, pressure pressure can often bring out the greatest things in our life, if we let it, if we choose that. Or it can bring out the absolute most detestable things in our lives. It will usually do one or the other, but it's never neutral. And you and I determine what that's going to be. Not God, not other people, but you and I. We decide, am I going to be joyful? Am I going to be hopeful? Am I going to be positive? Am I going to put a smile on my face? Or am I going to be glum? Am I going to be distraught? Am I going to be mad? Am I going to be upset? Am I going to be bitter? Am I going to be resentful? You and I determine that in our lives. Now, what gives us the power to choose the right thing is knowing truth. That's why the Bible tells in the book of John, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from your depression, free from your feelings of oppression. You notice what John read tonight? It doesn't say all the days of the well-fed, the wealthy, and the privileged are happy. And all the days of the oppressed are wretched. That isn't what it says. It says the cheerful heart has a continual feast, but the person, here's what it means, who views his life as oppressive all the time is wretched. That's why it makes that contrast. And that's how many Americans are today. That's how many Christians are today. They just view their life, oh, my life's so bad. I don't have what other people have. I don't get what other people... If I had your talent, if I had this, we kind of live our life kind of under the if only philosophy. If only this, if only that, if I could be this, if I could have that. And it never happens. Instead of thanking God for what He gave us, instead of looking at, hey, God is my shepherd. He's leading me. He's going to restore my soul, even in my most difficult times. I don't need to be afraid because He's with me. He's on my side. He walks with me. In the presence of my enemies, when things are the most difficult, God prepares a table. It may not be visible for others to see, but it's an emotional, spiritual table filled with the finest delicacies that God could provide to sustain you in your most difficult time. And if you will eat of it and revel in it, you'll understand that your cup overflows. You'll understand that even though it may not seem like it to everybody else out here, goodness and mercy has been following me for the last 20 years and continues to follow me today, despite everything that I've been through and go through. God is following me with His love. David says in Psalm 57, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who accomplishes everything for me, and He will send from heaven and save me. He will send His love and His faithfulness. Another passage in the Bible that has been of extraordinary comfort to me is in Isaiah chapter 43, and it says this, but now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Mark, He who formed you, fear not, for I have bought you. I have called you by name, and you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Holy One. I am the Lord your God, your Savior. I have given my Son as your ransom. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give others in exchange for you. You see, I realized a long time ago, God promised me fire. He promised me that I'd go through rivers that, quite frankly, look like the floods we saw this summer on television. And they rage past. Life sometimes just roars past us. It comes upon us all of a sudden in ways that just overwhelm us. It's so powerful, the torrent of life sometimes, and the pressures that come our way. And I am not saying that you will never feel grief in your life, for the Bible tells us, grieve with those who grieve. But I am saying there can still be shouts of joy, even in that grief, even in that difficulty. We can take an outlook on life that says, God is for me. Let me read you another passage that has been one that I've gone over and over and over and over in my life. Romans 8. Verse 28, and I know that in everything, that happens to me, God works for my good. For those God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. And those He predestined, He called. Those He called, He justified. Those He justified, He glorified. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justified you. Therefore, no one can condemn you. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and He's praying for you. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble, pressure, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want to share something with you. These are much more than words. These aren't pretty little words on a piece of paper. This is the truth. I have no fear of a coming economic earthquake in this country. If it comes, it comes. My times are in God's hands. I refuse to live my life in fear when I have the choice, if I have the choice and I have the choice. And I choose to live my life in faith in what God says. Does things look bleak right now? You bet they look bleak. You'd be hard-pressed to find very many things positive about what's going on today in America. Does that have to rob us of our joy? Does that have to rob us of a hopeful attitude? Well, there's only one way that it's possible to rob us, and that is if there's no God. If the God of the Bible is not alive and He's dead, then I pity on all of us. I truly pity all of us, but He's not dead. He is alive, and He's real, and He's personal. And He gets involved in the affairs of everyday, ordinary men and women. And He keeps His word. And He does what He says. And I'll tell you, we have more than positive thinking. See, positive thinking, for many people, positive thinking is being optimistic stupidly. Okay, let me explain what I mean. Your circumstances are bad. For example, I remember sales meetings I used to go to. I used to be in sales. You go to these sales meetings, and they'd have you stand up on chairs, and they'd have you get all psyched up emotionally. Like the world is your oyster. Sure it is. Like guys out there really want to help you and give you business. Sure they do. Like they really want to buy from you. Of course they do. Okay? So you talk to this salesman. He'd have a martini in one hand. He'd be telling you how his wife and him were divorced. And his kids hated him. And he's got an ulcer. So you'd ask him how he's doing. Great. Never been better. That's called a lie. That's called being an idiot. Your life's not good at all. Your life's pretty screwed up. What are you going to do about it? If you continue going on the course you're going on, you can keep saying to your blue in the face, couldn't be better, couldn't be better. And your life's going right down the toilet and you don't even know it. But for a Christian, for someone who knows Christ personally, it's a whole other matter. Yeah, you may be having struggles. You may be having difficulties. I remember going out making call after call. I was working for this one particular company. And man, it was bleak. I mean, I had a family to support. I was on straight commission and things were bad. And I'd get thrown out. I mean, I'd really get thrown out. Other than being grabbed by the shirt collar, I'd be cussed at, called names, and thrown out because of the company I represented. And I didn't know this was going to happen to me, but it did. And I remember one day going out and thinking, you know, Lord, these people really don't want to give me business. So I need some help here, Lord. I need some help. I need a new perspective. I need you to give me a new perspective. I always go to the Bible for my perspectives. And sure enough, I come across this verse in the Gospels. It's a story that Jesus tells. It's the story of this old widow woman who wanted justice. She couldn't get it. She'd go to the judge, and he didn't want to give her justice. He didn't respect God or man. But finally it says, because the woman pestered him enough, he gave her justice. And then it says this phrase. And then Jesus said to his disciples, how much more will your heavenly Father give justice to those who cry out to Him. And I thought for a moment, you know what? I'm talking to the wrong people. I start talking to you more, Lord. You're the one whom I'm going to start making sales calls on every day. So I came up with a whole new plan, a whole new perspective. Every day, I'd make 10 sales calls. If it took me 4 hours, it took me 8. I didn't care. 10, that was all I was going to make. And then you know what I did for 2 hours every afternoon? I went out and started calling out to the big salesman in the sky, to the big purchasing agent in the sky, to the guy who controlled everybody else. You see, you know what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs? That the king's heart is like channels of water, and the Lord turns it wherever He wills. So I figured, I'm going to start talking to God. And I'm going to start letting Him squeeze these people. I'm not going to go in there and try to wow them. All I am is a servant. I'm just going to go in and let them know that I'm going to try to do the best job I can possibly do to service their account. And that's what I did. And you know the guy who was the hardest on me? He was the hard. I mean, the first 3 or 4 times I went out, literally, he just looked at me and pointed at the door. After he found out what company I was with, he became my biggest customer. The first year of that perspective changed, the business doubled. That store had not doubled their business in 15 years. They were going to close it. I didn't know that. The same lessons I use in the ministry. You know, not everybody Evergreen likes Mark. You get good mail and you get bad mail. You have people who do like you and people who don't like you. You have people who say negative things about you. They may even make threats. So what are you going to do? Trust God and smile and try to return a blessing for an insult. Am I going to allow it to rob me of my confidence in the Lord? Am I going to decide, well, I guess I'll just won't walk on a stage anymore because they're sitting right over there looking at me? No. You have to trust God. You know, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm on easy street. It doesn't mean all of a sudden, you know, all the traumas and trials are gone. In fact, I got to tell you something. I can always be relevant to you folks, but I can't always be current. And I'll explain the difference. I can always relevantly share the Lord, but I can't always currently share what I'm going through because some of the things I'm going through are sitting right out in my audience. So I couldn't tell you that. It wouldn't be fair. I couldn't explain it because I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. But there's all kinds of pressures when you're pastor, when you're trying to serve people and minister to people, and people always want more. And they want this, and they want that. We can't be everything. We try, but you can't. You have the pressures of being a family person. It's funny, you know, sometimes you'll be at home. I'll be home. I got family to deal with. All of a sudden, there's a crisis in my family. Someone called earlier. They expect a phone call, but I got this crisis. Then another phone call comes of someone in a massive emergency, and then they yell at you a day later because you didn't get back to them. You just do the best you can. You just trust God. You just try to keep loving. You just try to remember that the Lord understands these things and He won't allow anything to come into my life that with His help I cannot handle. Now I tell you, there are a lot of things coming into my life that without Him, they'll kill me. I'd already be in the Looney Tune place. I'm very serious about that, man. I'd be on who knows what kind of drug. Just to kind of try to keep myself up emotionally. If you knew some of the things that you have to deal with as a pastor, the burdens, people's lives aren't always pretty. And you're trying to deal with a lot of pain and a lot of brokenness. So as a pastor, you can't become like what a lot of doctors do. Now, a lot of doctors don't do this, but many do. You just become, the only way to cope is to become very unemotional, unfeeling, and very callous. You ever had that feeling? You wish doctors went for a year course in tender, loving care? The reason many of them are like that, listen, you got to give them a break, a lot of nurses, is because if you had to deal with what they deal with all day, if you allow yourself to keep feeling all the time, you're going to be a ragged mess. Unless you have the Lord. You ever had a Christian doctor or a Christian nurse who focuses on Christ and understands that He is their reserve, their power reserve? It's a whole different story. And I've seen the same way in life. I want you to remember this week, as you go about your week, to smile. Put a smile on your face even when you don't feel like it. And remember, in your mind, control your attitudes. You may not be able to control the pressures, but you can control your attitudes. You can control your thoughts. And you need to fill them with this truth. Otherwise, you're just going to be bounced around like a pinball. That's what your life's going to be. Pressure's just going to be playing you like a little ball in a game. Bing, 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 and you're going to get beat up. You don't have to live like that. Next week, we'll finish this. And we'll find out next week the last and most important ingredient to withstanding the pressure that life brings your way. You keep smiling this week, and you remember that no matter how you feel, God is on your side. Lord, thank you tonight so much for your faithfulness in our life. Thank you, Lord, you're always looking out for us. Thank you that you're determined to bring good into our life, even though things may look bad. I know, Lord, that there's a lot of individuals here tonight that are facing really difficult things in their life. I know that. You know that better than I. I just pray, Lord, you'd help them to renew their perspective. I mean, God, you're not going to dump this thing into our brain by yourself. You're there for us if we're willing to reach out. You're there for us if we're willing to fill our mind with the truth, but you're not going to magically make it come into our brain. I pray, Lord, that we learn to reach out for you, that we learn to rely upon you, that we be willing, Lord, to decide in our heart, hey, I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to allow the reality of God to affect my everyday life, to affect my responses, and the way I respond to my wife and to my children and to the pressures that I face at work. I'm going to allow God's Word to determine how I respond to those unexpected health crises, those money crises in my life. Thank you, Lord, that if you're for us, no one can be against us. In Jesus' name. Amen.